Hello and welcome to the Southampton Audio Programme for this evening's game against Coventry City. In today's issue, we have a look over your opposition, your feature interview, and updates on the Southampton women's team. But first, a word from your manager, Russell Martin. Dear Saints fans, welcome back to St Mary's for the first of three consecutive home games in the Sky Bet Championship. Tonight, we welcome the staff, players and supporters from Coventry City, including manager Mark Robbins, the longest-serving boss in the division. Mark has been the driving force behind Coventry's rise from League Two to Championship promotion contenders, with an FA Cup semi-final to look forward to as well. It really is a remarkable job that he has done there, with year-on-year improvement over a number of seasons, which is incredibly difficult to achieve and maintain. In terms of ourselves, there are three games to reflect on since my last programme notes, starting with our last home game here against Middlesbrough on Good Friday. That was a game I felt we should have put to bed. I was really pleased with our fast start, particularly considering it was our first time playing in 3 weeks and with the number of internationals we had away playing for their countries. We got the early goal, but were unable to convert any of the big chances we created in the second half and ended up paying the price by conceding a poor equalising goal late in the game. Against Ipswich 3 days later, in a real high-stakes game, I thought we played fantastically well. We went away to a team that had been in and around the top of the table all season and been amazingly consistent at home, but we were by far the best team on the pitch, in my opinion. We responded brilliantly to falling behind, turning the game around to take a 2-1 lead, and should really have extended our advantage to 3 or 4-1 on the balance of play and the chances we created. Again, we were on the receiving end of a sucker punch goal against the run of play, and then the red card made it tough for us in the closing stages. Ultimately, Ipswich have found a way to win the game, and we have to be harder to score against as a team. That mentality to defend properly was a big focus of ours last week, so I was delighted to come away with a clean sheet from Ewood Park against a Blackburn side fighting for their lives, who were coming into the game on the back of a 5-1 win at Sunderland. We matched them in every bit of energy, determination and fight, and I was really pleased with the defensive side of our game. But maybe that came at the expense of some of our usual attacking threat. We still created a couple of big chances in the game, but we just lacked that clinical edge in front of goal. The key for us now is to find that right balance between maintaining the attacking threat we possessed in recent weeks and having that solidity in our shape of possession and that fight and desire to win duels, block shots and take pride in our defending. With 7 games to go, our aim is to win all 7 and to get as close to 21 points as we possibly can. We know that's going to be a tall order, but we'll take it one game at a time and see where it takes us. If we can bring both sides of our game at our very best level, we'll give ourselves a great chance to have a really powerful end to the season. Now on to your Southampton women's update. Southampton women's goalkeeper Kayla Rendell has been called up to the England senior squad for the first time. Having been initially selected in the under-23s for April's international break, Rendell has now been handed a senior call-up for the first time in her career. Lionesses head coach Serena Weigman announced that the 22-year-old goalkeeper has been drafted into the senior squad for the UEFA Women's Euro 2025 qualifiers. Rendell also becomes the first Southampton player to earn a senior England call-up since their club's formation in 2017. England faced Sweden at Wembley Stadium on Friday the 5th of April, before travelling to take on the Republic of Ireland tonight to kick off their qualifying campaign for the Euros. And Southampton women earned 3 points at home in a Barclays Women's Championship clash with Lewes, thanks to an Emma Thompson brace on Easter Sunday. With injuries to several players in the squad, the bench included a quartet of under-21 players, Kayla Nohoshirara, Pupinka Surin, Sophia Marlan and Kate Jeffrey. Mary and Spacey Kale's side looked threatening from the kickoff, with the first shot of the match coming within a minute for a powerful strike from captain Lucia Kendall. A stunning pass from Kendall to Ellen Morris was then the catalyst for the goal, which forged an early lead, with Morris finding Thompson inside the box, who had no trouble slotting it home to give Saints the advantage. Thompson then doubled the Saints' lead in the 15th minute after Lewes failed to clear a corner as she stabbed the ball home to notch an impressive brace as her first 2 goals for the club. The afternoon almost improved further as Thompson searched for a hat-trick with a long-range shot that went over the crossbar and another attempt moments later that was saved. Following some brief chaos in the box, the Rooks snatched a goal back in the 39th minute, with Chris Wriggler's strike landing in the bottom corner of the goal. A strong shot from distance by Kendall struck the crossbar in the 48th minute, with a fast-paced start to the second half, highlighting Saints' continued momentum. A vital save by Kayla Rendell kept Saints' goal to the good, as Amy Claypool had found herself in a prime shooting position. Soon after, Lewes looked to strike again, this time from close range, with Rendell saving the day once more. Lewes came close to an equaliser in the 84th minute after lifting the intensity, but a block from Ella Morris proved essential. Saints could have secured a third goal themselves when Atlanta Primas headed wide, but they held out for a win and maintained their third place in the table ahead of the league's final international break. At the business end of the season, results mean everything in football. For David Brooks, priorities have shifted over time, but his passion for the game is what brought him to St Mary's, and now he's determined to write his own fairy tale finish. I've wasted, not down to my own fault, 2 years of my career that I'm not going to get back. That's probably why I'm sat here now in Southampton. Time is of the essence for David Brooks. He's still only 26, coming into the prime years of his career, but he wants to savour every moment, and understandably so. A regular in the Wales squad from the age of 20, Brooks was a key player in the Bournemouth team chasing promotion to the Premier League in 21-22, with one eye on helping his country qualify for their first World Cup since 1958. I'd not been feeling great for a couple of months, really, just playing and grinding through it, thinking I'd get better, he remembers. It was October 2021, just 2 months into the season, when his world turned upside down. Brooks, a young, thriving footballer, had cancer. I went away with Wales and got diagnosed straight away as soon as I got there. I was obviously fortunate that the doctors picked it up, and it was a swift turnaround. I felt tired, more than usual, he says. I know you get tired as an athlete, but it was more than usual. I was very fatigued and achy the majority of the time, lost quite a lot of weight, and I was getting a lot of night sweats and stuff like that. So obviously there were a few signs, but I didn't really know what the symptoms were, so I never really picked up on it myself. I got diagnosed with stage 2 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and then went straight on to treatment and had 6 months of chemo. Brooks lost his energy, lost his hair, and his first love, football. From his diagnosis in October to the all clear in May, he was suffering. In terms of a timeline, he says it took 2 to 3 months after treatment to feel back to normal, but he still did not look himself. That would be 6 months post-treatment. Having gained weight and lost fitness, it would take 10 months before he would set foot on a pitch again, 18 months in total between games. In that time, Bournemouth did return to the Premier League and Wales did end their 64-year wait to qualify for the World Cup. Anyone who's been through it, or anyone that knows anyone that's been through it, it's not fun, he says. Typically understated Brooks, who hails from Warrington in Cheshire, is not one to make a fuss. You wouldn't wish it upon anyone, but it's just one of those things. You have to get on with it and try to make out the best of the bad situation. For all the moments he was missing out on, football, rightly, was not at the forefront of his mind. It is cheesy, but it does put things into perspective, he explains. You don't want to have your whole life based around football, but until that point, and then as soon as you get diagnosed, it means nothing. Absolutely nothing. It kind of puts into perspective how important football actually is in life, but it's still a massive part of my life and I still want to achieve things. I want to achieve, but it's not the be-all and end-all of everything. But as the winger points out, football had been his whole life. With his health intact and his body on the mend, he knew his appetite for the game remained. I always knew that I wanted to. It was just whether I could or not, he said of his playing prospects. The doctors obviously treated the illness to get us back healthy, but they're not sports specialists or anything like that. There were no guarantees, and it would have been silly of them to guarantee me something that there was no guarantee of. It was just trial and error trying to get the right people in place to help. Once I started doing the rehab, I know the passion to play again hadn't gone. It was just whether my body was physically able to do that anymore, and thankfully it has. Brooks made his comeback in March 2023, making a handful of sub-appearances before starting a Premier League game again in May, against Manchester United no less. By the summer, he was back in the Wales squad at the start of another qualification journey for Euro 2024. After playing a full part in Bournemouth's pre-season, his first since 2021, Brooks was ready to go fight for his place and now had a new boss in highly rated Spanish coach Andoni Areola. Areola has impressed at Bournemouth with his progressive style and clearly likes Brooks, starting him on the opening day against West Ham and using him in each of the first eight games of his tenure, even handing him the captaincy for a number of cup ties. But Premier League starts were proving hard to come by at the turn of the year. Perhaps cameos off the bench would have been satisfying in the past, but cancer has changed Brooks' perspective on his life and career. It's probably why I'm sat here in Southampton, he reasons. When he looks at his playing career in general, you've got to have 10 years in a good career. I've wasted, not down to my own fault, 2 years of my career that I'm not going to get back, so I didn't want to waste another 12 months of trying to get into the Bournemouth team and it not happening. I just wanted to come out and see if I could play again at a good level, try to score and create goals, obviously play and enjoy it. His mind was made up when Brooks joined Saints on loan in the final week of the January transfer window. It was a huge coup in the Championship promotion race. The talented wide man was not prepared to waste time at Bournemouth and proved he wasn't going to hang around at St Mary's, as two assists on his home debut against Huddersfield helped extend Saints' club record unbeaten run to 25 matches. Important goals at West Brom and Birmingham have followed. I would sign Brooksy to a contract that he has to stay with me until he retires, Russell Martin recently remarked. It's always nice to get on the score sheet and get an assist. And that's what I like to do, get goals and assists. When I can help the team by doing that, it's a nice feeling, Brooks says. When I was looking from the outside in, obviously, Saints played attractive and nice football, and I know that's what this league is about. It's a very exciting league, and anyone can beat anyone, so that's why I wanted to be a part of it. I'm just thankful I can be involved and help any way I can. I enjoy being on the ball the majority of the game, and obviously that's what the gaffer sets up to do. It suits the way I want to play and how I see the game, so I'm enjoying it. Brooks admits another motivation behind the move was to boost his playing prospects for his country. With their qualification journey for the Euros taking Wales into last month's playoffs, Brooks wanted to be fit and firing. He was not prepared to watch another tournament from home. It's every kid's dream to represent their country at a major tournament, and I'm no different. I want to do that, he stated firmly. I wasn't stupid in the fact that I knew those games were coming up as well, and I think the majority of the lads in with a shout will be starting at club level, so I didn't want to be any different. I didn't want to be the reason for the gaffer, Rob Page, to not pick me when I get there. Brooks's logic was justified when he was picked to start Wales' playoff semi-final against Finland. Within 3 minutes, he had set the nation on the way to victory with the opening goal in a 4-1 victory. But Brooks and Wales would be denied their fairy tale ending. Cruelly, another bout of illness kept him out of training in the build-up to the playoff final against Jan Bednarek's Poland in Cardiff 5 days later. Brooks was left out of the starting lineup, introduced as a late substitute towards the end of the 90 minutes, then withdrawn in extra time. Wales were beaten on penalties, with Brooks having lasted only 28 minutes. Manager Rob Page felt it was a gamble worth taking, but the winger, for all his good form at club level and that sublime semi-final showing, was just not fit enough to contribute. He returned to action with cameo roles over Easter against Middlesbrough and Ipswich before starting Saturday's goalless draw at Blackburn. Perhaps Brooks' season will come down to another playoff campaign in May. Maybe he will get his fairy tale finish after all. With everything he's been through, few would deny this reluctant hero his moment in the spotlight. And finally, now time for the local lowdown. We asked opposition expert Andy Turner, Coventry Telegraph reporter for Coventry Live, to preview tonight's game from the visitors' point of view. Coventry went into the weekend fixtures 4 points behind Norwich in sixth, with a game in hand. How do you view the Sky Blues' playoff prospects? It's all there to play for, although realistically, unless West Brom suddenly hit a bad patch, Coventry chasing the last available spots that the Canaries currently occupy. They are more than capable of going to the wire, and then it will be down to whether Norwich can sustain that run to stay one step ahead. To be fair, given the high turnover of personnel last summer, including the loss of star players like Victor Gyökeres and Gustavo Hammer, arguably two of the best in the division last term, they've done remarkably well to be in the mix at the top end at this stage of the season. Most sensible thinking fans would have settled for a season of consolidation, so the fact that they're even pushing for the playoffs again and in an FA Cup semi-final at Wembley is a real bonus. What's been behind the team's resurgence from 20th place in November to top six contenders? The main reason has to be 11 new players settling in, finding their feet at Championship level, with many having come from abroad or League One and gelling in a largely new-look team. The strikers are a case in point, with Ellis Sims and Hadji Wright taking times to get going in terms of their good goal returns, with Sims registering just two and Wright six before Christmas. They've now 33 between them, with Sims on 17 and Wright on 16 ahead of Saturday's match against Leeds. Winger Tatsuhiro Sakamoto also waded in with seven before sadly being ruled out of the season in February, as a Japanese player found his rhythm in English football, having come from Belgium's top division. The turning form also coincided with a change in formation, from three at the back in wing-backs to a 4-2-3-1 system in November, although Mark Robbins has returned to using wing-backs on occasions, and the players do switch fairly effortlessly between both to suit the circumstances. What has the FA Cup run to the semi-finals done for City and the team's league form? There's a real buzz in the area, but in truth, the football club has been back on the up with a real feel-good factor ever since Mark Robbins came back to the club 7 years ago and led the team to the Checker Trade success at Wembley. That was the catalyst for City's rise back up the divisions to where they are now. But the quarter-final victory over Wolves has been huge in terms of confidence and showing this developing group of players what they are capable of when they're at their maximum. Which would the fans prefer, an FA Cup win or promotion? Given the strength of the opposition in the FA Cup, assuming Manchester City make the final, it's probably more realistic for the Sky Blues to progress all the way into the playoffs. A second FA Cup win would be lovely, but I suspect most supporters, in line with Coventry's management and players, want to get back to the Premier League as soon as possible. Who are the players Saints should watch out for at St Mary's? You can't look much further than in-form Sims and Wright at the minute. Sims had scored 13 in 10 ahead of the Leeds match, while Wright had 5 in 6. Both are playing with great confidence. Playmaker Casey Palmer has also been in excellent form and played an important role in their goals, along with Milan Van Ivic, who has been converted from a rapid fullback to winger in recent weeks. And finally, how do you see the game going? I guess Saints will dominate the ball as usual, and if Coventry can stand up to the pressure and keep things tight, there's every chance they could come away with something. It will come down to the game plan, tactical detail, and taking chances when they come along.